Good morning, 810 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. It is Memorial Day. We are live every day of the year except for Christmas. The only people who work more than we do are the sheriffs. They work every day of the year. They don't get to take off for any of those days. Joining us now, we have Chief Deputy at the Santa Rosa Sheriff's Office, Shane Tucker. Hey, Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Well, good morning, Andrew. It's good to talk to you again.
Good to have you as well. Let's start with this. The safe packs, Sheriff Johnson had a sort of a press conference about this the other day. Can you maybe just tell people what they are? And is this brand new? I thought we had these already in place. So what happened the other day?
The packs themselves are kind of a new twist to our safe program. You know, we've been doing the safe program for some time now. That's something that Sheriff Johnson, in cooperation with Emerald Coast Exceptional Families, has initiated some time back to help us better serve our special needs community. But last week, he announced the all patrol deputies are going to be provided with these safe program packs, and they are expected to be, you know, kind of an additional resource for allowing us to better serve our special needs population. These packs have in them items that, you know, are there to help us communicate with and hopefully make these special needs citizens more comfortable and safer when dealing with our deputies. As you know, folks that that have special needs, in many cases, they may not communicate as expected or even at all in emergency situations. So anything that we as an agency can do to help increase that communication is we consider that a big win for our citizens.
Yeah, and just kind of looking at the contents of the packs from your Facebook post, it's a lot of things that I would interpret as being designed to bring calm to, you know, certain people are more easily agitated by things like lights and sirens and chaos that surround a crime scene or even just any kind of an incident. So you have, you know, sound canceling headphones, you have shades, you have fidget spinners and, you know, fidget snakes and things like that to occupy their hands. Just and an interactive kind of a keyboard so that they can, you know, communicate with you if verbal is not their preferred method, right? Like, that's the idea, is to put them at ease and allow them to communicate more effectively with you guys, if at all. Is that right?
That's exactly the idea. You know, and when you're dealing with folks that that don't communicate, you know, in verbally, it can be incredibly difficult. You know, to calm them down, to give them that sense that it's going to be okay. And these packs are designed to assist with that.
And this is following on the stickers program, right, that you guys had rolled out a couple of years ago to put a sticker on either on the car or on the house so that you can identify, hey, you know, somebody here has special needs, so just be aware of that when you're engaging with them, right?
Right, and it's the exact same program. That's the SAFE program. This is all, you know, encompassed under the umbrella of the SAFE program. You know, but when we announced the stickers a couple of years back, that was kind of the beginning, and this is just an addition to that same program.
Fantastic. We also had the other kind of news, the bad news. We had a deceased person was found on Diamond Street in Pace and has led to some charges. Is that right?
It sure has. Saturday, our deputies were dispatched to a home on Diamond Street after a witness reported seeing something that caused them to believe there was possibly a dead body at that residence. When our deputies got on scene, they confirmed there was, in fact, a decedent at that location. The suspect was actually still on scene, and when deputies tried to contact him, ultimately he tried to flee the scene, but deputies were able to detain him, and through their investigation, they ultimately were able to charge him with second-degree murder, as well as resisting violence. And as you know, in circumstances like this, even though an arrest has been made, it's still an ongoing investigation. So certainly more details will be released as the case progresses, but that's kind of where we're at right now.
And I think, if I'm not mistaken, you correct me if I'm wrong, but I think this one had a change in the charging status from a first to a second, that, you know, there was a kind of a revised press release or whatever that went out. Do I remember that correctly? And if so, is that right?
Yes and no. We didn't change the charging status. We had a little snafu on our initial press release.
Oh, okay.
Where initially it said first degree murder, but the correct charge was second degree.
Okay, but the actual charge, it was just a communications issue, not an actual charging change.
Correct.
Okay, that makes sense. What can you hang on for just a second, Shane, because I think it's something people may not understand the difference between those, and maybe it'll take a second to explain that. We hear a lot of these different terms, first degree murder, second degree murder, homicide, manslaughter, negligent manslaughter. Can you just maybe give us the 30-second primer on, what is the difference between all these things? Because I think for some people it's very, and some of them are not legal terms of art here in the state of Florida. They're just terms of people here because they're, used elsewhere.
Sure. In this particular case, the suspect was charged with second degree murder. Second degree murder is the name for a description of an unlawful killing by an act that is imminently dangerous to another human being and does show evidence of a depraved mind, but there was no planning or premeditation on the part of the suspect to commit a homicide. So second degree murder doesn't carry the premeditation. First degree murder would encompass the premeditated murder killing in the course of committing an enumerated felony and in some drug related crimes. That's going to be your first degree murder.
And that's where the felony murder rule comes in. Like if you drive the car at a gas station,
correct,
robbery that winds up getting somebody killed, everybody gets charged because you were committing a felony that wound up in the murder, even if you didn't pull the trigger,
correct,
yourself. And then a manslaughter is where it is somebody dies through, if it's a negligent manslaughter, it would be somebody dies through the failure to properly protect somebody else's life, even though you weren't intending there's no depraved mind, but you didn't do your best to protect them. Is that roughly the idea?
Correct. When somebody dies, but there was not malice in the action, there wasn't any kind of a forethought, those circumstances certainly aren't the same as murder, but you're still responsible for your actions. And so your actions may have caused the death of a human being, even though that wasn't your intent.
Last thing I wanted to ask you about, you guys had you had a domestic violence call that turned out to be, as is often the case, the initial facts are not the final facts. Is that right?
We sure did, and you're so right. Oftentimes that is the case. Many times people call us and report things to us that when we get to investigating, it's just not so. Friday morning, we were dispatched to a home in Navarre after a caller reported that her live-in boyfriend had struck her with a hammer and was presently chasing her around the house, threatening her with the same hammer. So obviously that's an urgent situation, so we didn't waste any time getting there. While we were en route, we lost contact with her and weren't able to get her back on the line, so certainly that causes us some concern. When we arrived, we found the boyfriend, but we didn't find the caller. The boyfriend told deputies that it was actually him that was threatened with a hammer, and he took the hammer from his girlfriend to protect himself. And he actually had some injuries on his person that were consistent with what he was saying. Deputies started searching for the complainant and ultimately found her locked in a bedroom closet. When they started talking to her, she refused to give any additional information, but based on her original statement, the dispatch, we did call an ambulance to come check her out, and according to the paramedics, she didn't have any indication of any kind of recent injuries. So ultimately, the deputies determined that she was the primary aggressor, and she was ultimately charged with domestic violence battery.
So sometimes in law enforcement, people lie to you?
Very rarely, but yes, it happens. No, more often than you might believe.
I can believe an awful lot based on having talked to you guys for so many years, and I think that is one of the biggest challenges of your job is figuring out, whose story adds up and people lie about all kinds of things, and even when they don't need to lie, they lie about things, and so it's just, I think it's a very difficult slice of your job. Shane Tucker, he's the Chief Deputy Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. As always, Chief, thank you for the time. Thanks for what you do, and thanks for being there. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. We'll talk to you soon.